Now, the economy is doing really well right now, right? So it hasn't changed yet. A lot of times you've noticed, like during the last crash, do you remember when the 100% and the flat fee companies came in and they got pushed out because of the crash? That didn't happen this time. And I think that's why we have a lot more interrupters and disruptors than normal. The difference is that this time around, people who say that these companies are going to go out of business, they're in denial. They're not. These companies will maintain a 30 to 40% market share. I'm positive on that. Zillow has all the attention. Redfin has all of the attention because they own your search right now. So we have to create more and more attention because there are other alternatives today than buying or selling real estate. You could sell directly to Zillow, Redfin. There are so many ways to liquidate your properties right now. So folks, you're not the only alternative out there right now. And that's why you got to get attention. The reason why you log on to Facebook and you get pissed off because Aunt Sally just bought a house without you is because a less expensive option presented themselves to her before you had a chance to speak with her.
What's up, guys and gals? Coming at you with an awesome episode of the Carrot Cast. And I actually had the pleasure to meet this guy in person about a month ago down in, of all places, Beverly Hills, California. It was a blast. And but before that, I stumbled on him from one of the top CEOs in the country, from Sam Cramian. And he owns a company called Big Block Realty. And I kept on seeing this guy's name pop up and just his expertise on video marketing in the real estate industry, specifically for agents. I dove into his stuff, saw stuff that his clients were doing. I'm like, I've got to reach out to Mike and just learn and see what he's doing, because the way that he's guiding his clients to use video to stand out, to build a brand as a real estate agent locally. And you can do the same thing with as an investor. And to really kind of, as he'll say, and we'll describe in a little bit, how do you become the digital mayor of your area? I learned about it. We got to meet in person. But now in this call, I'm going to be grilling him because I want to learn a lot more about how does a real estate agent stand out in video? What are some processes, systems you can do to build a brand locally and start to control the conversation? But welcome on the CareCast, Mike Cuevas.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited about this. As a matter of fact, the show that you and I did was like probably one of my favorite ones that we've done. And usually our show is like 30 minutes. It went 56 minutes. And that's just because you and I absolutely nerded out. But yes, folks, it's nice to meet everybody here. And I'm excited for the show and happy to sort of, spill the beans. What I will say, though, before we go is that I understand you guys have a lot of investors on this show and also real estate agents. But I will say that the process we'll talk about today is not a real estate thing. It's not an investor thing. It's an any business thing. So just you could literally adapt this. What we're talking about is the same way I run real estate marketing, dude. It's the same way any business markets their company, and it's all about attention. So I'll try to provide examples for both.
I love it, man. And I actually just switched my mic. So hopefully you guys are hearing this. It should have switched over to my new one. Hopefully that doesn't mess up the recording. It shouldn't. We're good. We'll roll with it. But what I want to do first, I want to set the context. And I always like to know a little bit of the backstory that kind of helps to add a lot of context for what you're doing now. But Mike, when we were on your podcast and even before that, you were talking about your days as a real estate agent, an active agent up there, I think it was Chicago, and then how you started really stumbling the video side of things, and not just the video side of things, but branding. So what got you into the video side of things? What's your background? Bring us up to speed, how you got into real estate and how you got to where you are now.
Yep. So fast forward version is got into real estate on accident. It was the last class I took in college just to graduate and ended up being my career, sort of like a lot of other people. But in college, when I graduated, I was only 22 years old. Well, actually, that's a five-year college career, but I was 22 years old at that time. And it's really hard to move downtown Chicago and just start selling $500,000 houses when a week before you're just pouring a bunch of fucking beer on your head. Yep. So I had to find a way to stand out and sort of generate that. Back then, we didn't have video or any of that other stuff. So what we did have was direct mail at the time and whatnot. And what I always knew was that if I could get someone to like me, they'll work with me. And I learned that early on. So naturally, I've always just sort of been more like innate. Like I know how to relationship build. Like I have a lot of friends. I'm a guy who go out there and shake hands and meet someone I've never met before and not be shy at all. So I'm like, how the hell do I do that with real estate? And it's crazy because now that we see like people like Gary Vee and all these different types of personalities that are out there, I realized I was really practicing that exact model the entire time, but I didn't know what it was.
Yep.
Right? I just knew that it was all about attention. Like I knew that it wasn't a matter of when somebody moves or if someone moves, is a matter of when. And I needed to get on their radar early on. So I always knew that top of mind brand awareness, especially in the real estate business, is everything. fast forward to how the video thing came about is that we used to have a short sale training company. We had a mastermind. We had high-end mastermind for short sales back in the day. So I was really successful in the short sale market. I started a training company, a coaching company. I was trying to help people close a lot of short sales in their different markets. So we had our first event, and that was the first time I've ever done a video. And this was a training event, and this is in the middle of 2000, I would like maybe 2009 and 10. So the markets just crashed. So at that time, everything's changed since then. Like, it's night and day from what it was. But at that time, you could buy, I bought with this company called eCampaign Pro, I bought a million email addresses for $3,000 a pop, and I sent the email three times. And what I was doing was I was having an event in Phoenix, and that was our first event we've ever done. I had no list, nothing, literally. Now, what we did is the landing page had a video on it. And this is the first time I ever filmed a video, and I was in front of a green screen. And my partner at the time just sort of told me what to say. I was like, what the hell is this? It's so weird. And how I opened up was this. I said, hey, what's up, guys? This is Mike Coyle. I said, no, I'm not. This is another bullshit, fake, short sale training class. I swore immediately. Yep. And that was the attention getter. That weekend, I'm not going to say what we built, but we did very well. And every single person who joined our mastermind that weekend said the same thing. They said, when I saw that video, I knew you were for real. I knew it wasn't bullshit. And what they saw was authenticity. Sure, they checked me out afterwards, but what got their attention was video. That's when I was sold.
Dude, so one thing we talked about last time, I can't remember if it was on your podcast or even before we hit record, is the about page. You know, so then you were a real estate agent early on a little bit, and your about page and stuff, you mentioned that it was just straight up, not even really a lot of what you do. It's kind of more who you are. And it was unabashedly you. You know, it was like clearly you.
So when I started realizing authenticity wasn't until like about the 2010, 2011 cycle. So remember, when a 22-year-old kid selling real estate, you're just doing what everyone tells you at that time. You're trying to be professional. And as a matter of fact, I had to put on a suit back then because who the fuck was I, right? I had to show like, who's going to trust a fraternity kid, party animal guy that just goes sell their big investment? So I had to play the part for a little bit. But same thing happened. I realized all the clients that I had were just people just like me. I attracted people that were just like me. I repel attorneys, doctors, and anyone over the age of 45, probably. And it's just who I am. But at the same time, what do I care? Like, if your marketing and your positioning and your branding isn't turning anyone off, I think you have the wrong brand, period. So fast forward to that, the content creation days, when I started, I just started blogging, writing videos, put a video on every page of my site. My old site's called Chicago Real Estate Dude. Please bear with it, because I haven't touched it in 3 years. But what you'll see on it is a bunch of cartoons, and it's not like a regular real estate site. Like, the opening line I think that you're referring to is this: we've been in the business for 99 years and service these neighborhoods, blah, 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 blah. Did you fall asleep yet? And that's my intro for the line. You wouldn't typically see that on a realtor page. But that's what a dude does. I understood my brand was the dude. Mike has a family. The dude is who goes to work. And that's what a brand is. Like, when you have to talk through it and just be you.
And it's so important. And once again, I caught myself doing it again. Like, literally, I said dude at the start of it, because your current company now is the Real Estate Marketing Dude. Your previous one was the Chicago Real Estate Dude or whatever it was. And you do, you start to attract people that talk the way that you talk, that believe in the things that you believe in. And it's so important, even here at Carrot. I mean, we don't go around like stating our core values. We live and we talk, and you can tell what our core values are through the way that we do stuff. And it doesn't matter, y'all, what your core values are. You need to be true to those core values. You need to be true to them to the nth degree, and just live that through your marketing. And that's one thing that Mike is so great at. So then you got into the business of doing this for other people. So that's your primary business now, is you guys help real estate agents create these brands, become the digital mayor. When you're helping people do that, man, I guess, first of all, what the heck does it mean? What does it mean to be the digital mayor of your city? And why is it that people should even pay attention to that and make that something they should focus on?
Sure. I want to touch up on one point, and I'll segment into that. Here's what's interesting. Chicago Real Estate Dude and Real Estate Marketing Dude. I'm still a dude. What I sell has completely changed. The people who resonate with the brand has not. The stats still show 26 to 44 years of age. And it's a dude thing. It's not like a freaking anything else. It's just, I'm going to attract like people. The reason that I think so many agents and even the investors who are trying to create content and trying to be somebody you're not, the truth is that when anybody lands on any of your site, the videos are there to build your brand and help people get an idea off of whom you are and how you work. That's it. People are not going to get in the car with you until they feel like they can trust you, they know you, they like you, whatever it is, right? So that's what the videos is for. This is not a lead generating thing, at least not the way we teach. We teach it as a brand building thing. It's a trust building thing. It's an authority building thing. And most importantly, it's an attention gathering thing.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that I talk about quite a bit for people is the mind of, let's go with sellers at this point, right? The mind of a seller when they're looking to sell a house, and it could be for an investor or an agent. The first thing they go, I have a problem. So if it's retail, they go, I want to sell my house because we want to upgrade it. We want to downgrade it. We're moving out of the city. So that's their problem. I have a house I need to sell. And then they start to search and try to find that person. Some of it's going to be referral. You know, hey, Aunt Sally has a friend who she really likes, or my neighbor sold theirs from this person. Then I might go to Google and start to type in best real estate agents in Chicago, or I might even have a name, you know, Mike Cuevas, real estate agent, Chicago, whatever it is, right? And so we start to do that research. Pretty much every agent offers the same essential service. You know, it's I can list your house and my fee is probably going to be within this very tight range versus the others. It goes on the MLS. It's not like you have a secret MLS, you know, that's better than anyone else's MLS. So then when it really comes down to it, it comes down to relationship, comes down to trust, credibility, comes down to exactly the things that you're mentioning.
Yep.
And when I see so many, especially newer agents, but a lot of other ones too, where they're going, man, how do I actually stand out? There's so many agents here. And they start to then cut their fee, because that's their only way of differentiating and building some sort of advantage is by making their price cheaper, which is that's a recipe for disaster. This is the way you stand out.
Let's get right into that. You brought up a really good point. So it's who do you stand out in front of, I think, is the question.
Yep.
All right, so let's start at the beginning and really just dumb this all down for everybody. All right. Now, if I were to start a taco stand, and let's talk about taco stand, because I'm Mexican, I eat fucking tacos. So if I'm going to start a taco stand, the very first thing I do is I'm going to look for a neighborhood I'm going to open up in. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to research the demographics to see who buys tacos at what times during the day and all that before I ever start a business, right?
Yep.
But folks, we did the work for you. 60% of the business comes from your sphere of influence and people you already know. And 76% of people use the first agent they come into contact with. That's who they actually end up closing with.
Yep.
So when we're talking about building a brand, I'm not talking about building a brand initially in front of a bunch of strangers.
Mm.
I'm talking about building the brand initially in front of the people I already know.
Gotcha.
All right. And here's why. If 76% of people use the first agent they speak to, and these are the stats of moving. So I started researching the population. I think I got it from melissadata.com. Last year it was 14.19% of the population moved, which means 10 to 15% of the population moves each and every year. So it's a numbers game. This is not theory. Yep. Everyone's like, hey, go throw a fishing pole out and you're going to fucking be a millionaire. No, this is mathematical. The bigger your audience, the more opportunities you have. Now it's first determining who the hell's your audience. Folks, your audience is your SOI. It's your dentist. It's your neighbors. It's your frat brothers. It's your fraternity, whatever, college class roommates, high school people. It's anyone that you know or know of. It's anyone you have a relationship with.
Yep.
Because 100% of them can refer you one deal this year. And the minimum, 10 to 15% of them are moving. Mm. So farming that relationship or nurturing that audience with content via video creates top of mind brand awareness.
Mm. Dude, so what would you do? Let's say you're going to start doing video marketing. You've been in business for years, or you're brand new, it doesn't matter. And you had that warm group, just like you mentioned there. What would you suggest that people do with their first set of videos or their first video? What should they put out?
One I would do is the announcement video, which is sort of like a brand about. That's always your most important, because I think you're the one who pointed out the stat to me. I think you said that the number three page on your site is your about page.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So if that's the case, what's on your about page? And folks, go to your about page right now and go and read it. And tell me if you fell asleep by the time you get done with it first. I've been in the business for this. We know that it's all watered down. If you have someone else writing your bio, you already failed.
Yep.
The truth is that your bio should just be, this is who I am and how I roll. If you swear. I do.
Yep.
But that's what fits me. It's not going to fit for everybody. What people want at the end of the day is real. It's authenticity. There's a reason why reality television is the most consumed piece of content out there today.
Yep.
Does that make sense? So here's what attention really is, because everyone's like, how do you build attention? How do you build brand? Well, it's very simple. You cannot build a brand without having an audience. You cannot have an audience without having consistent communication. So let me give this example that everyone will relate to. We all have people that we knew like in college or high school, and Facebook came out when? like when we all started using like mainstream.
It was 05, 06, something like that.
So I graduated college in 2002, and I can't tell you how many friends I've stayed in touch with because of Facebook and Instagram. Mm-hmm. I haven't personally talked to them. I haven't had a beer with them. We haven't spoke. We haven't done anything, but I know exactly how many of my friends are having kids and what age they are because the power of visual imagery and story combined has left that imprinted on my head. So I'm going to give you an example. So I have a friend, his name's Matt. Matt, I know he has two kids. He just had another kid. He married an Asian chick, and I only know that from Facebook. We don't ever talk.
Yep.
Now, if I suddenly walked past Matt in the grocery store, I would recognize him and say, hey, what's up, Matt? Just because I'm seeing him every other day on social. But if Facebook didn't exist and I've never seen Matt, I probably wouldn't remember who he is or what he looked like. And the chance of me walking right past him are very, very going to happen.
Yep. Yep.
So, dude. It's top of mind brand awareness is consistent communication to the same audience over time.
Dude, I was watching a video the other day and it resonated with me too. And same thing, Grant Cardone is a guy that he's very, very true to his persona, who he is. And I think he's really came into his own the last 3 or 4 years and he's grown because he's fully owning who he is now. I remember seeing his stuff from 10 years ago, dude. And it was like Mr. Salesy, the guy you would expect to be Mr. Salesman trying to go out there and sell stuff versus Grant Cardone being his own personality. Yeah. But I saw a graphic that he did, a little video from the last Growth Con, and he showed his income in relation to the attention that he had gotten, the attention by views, by all that stuff, right? And it basically, as he got more attention on Instagram and Google and, you know, everything, his income followed that exact trend. If I were to look at my income as well on the Carrot side or any of the other businesses or even people that I know, Noelle's a good example. Noelle in the closing table, she's just been doing video and she's been growing because of video. But my income has clearly followed the trend of the more attention I've been able to go get using video pretty much and audio with podcasts, the income attracts to it.
No doubt. And here's how, so let me break this down and get really nerdy. So it's all in visual imagery and how our brain perceives and what's left imprinted on our brain. So just like in, when you see a picture versus see text, pictures are processed through your brain 60,000 times faster than verbal or text. So what you see is very impactful. Video is nothing more than a communication strategy. 90% of communication is based upon the tone and the body language that you're using. People only retain 10% of what actually comes out of our mouths. That's why I never give a fuck what I say on video. I care about how I'm saying it. And I say that all the time to people because it's what you're saying and the story you're telling that people remember. It's not so much anything else. So it's more impactful, in other words. And you know, if I were to rank them, it's going to go text. And look at Facebook's trend. This, it just tells you they have billions of dollars into this. Remember Facebook was no images? And then it went what? To images? And then it went what? To video. So all we're doing is following the ride, right? And where the attention opportunity is in real estate right now is, let's face it, guys, how many people in your town are really doing video and doing it consistently? And I'm not talking about the shaking hand, check me out, bro. I'm talking about storytelling, creating media, building attention around your brand.
Dude.
And that's where it's at.
That is where it's at. And I live in a smaller town of 25,000 people, and there's not really many people doing that. Okay. There are some agents that are doing some Facebook Lives. Anthony Beckham, one of our clients, a younger real estate agent, crushed it, man. His first year, I think he did a couple hundred grand in commissions in this small town, and then even bigger the next year. Now he's investing in a Carrot customer on the investment side, and he does some video. But there's really not many people doing it. That's probably one of the reasons he's grown is because of video. And I asked him that. I said, so dude, how did you grow your business so fast? It's not because he had a network. He said, man, I came from a family that I am the very first homeowner in my family, and like going all the way down to like grandparents and stuff. He didn't come from a family with connections, with money. He came from a job at a call center. So he didn't bring in this whole network of people that wanted to work with him. He just like, I just been doing it on Facebook with video and with ads.
It goes back to attention, and it's attention and the size of your audience will determine, like you just summed it up. Attention and the size of your audience will determine your income, in real estate at least. And you're asking, you know, people like, how do I differentiate? Well, because the consumers and the general consumer perception of agents is that we all offer the same level of service, same products and all of that. So if that's the perception, we still have to be the first one to get that call.
Yep.
Right. So just think about it common sense wise. If you're out there cranking, you know, two videos a month and they're professionally done per se, or one a month and whatever, you're doing it consistently. Is your list of friends going to remember you're in real estate as opposed to you not doing them?
Mm-hmm.
And this is direct mail farming, but with video. The only difference is that a postcard doesn't have a personality. A video does. That's why it's more impactful.
Dude, I want to grab my white. I erased it. Never mind. I was going to grab my whiteboard because I wrote something on it the other day and I just erased it a little bit ago. But I've been thinking about a lot this past week or two as I've been talking with more and more agents. And of course, I really feel convicted. And just from our talks, it sounds like we're on the same page that, you know, in 5 years, in 10 years, those, even now, those real estate agents who don't find a way to stand out, build expertise,
they're gone.
Build credibility and trust are going to be gone or being in a call center for really.com.
100. I think you're right on, and time will tell, but I think this is the difference right now.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, we're like at the 13th year of a 10-year cycle. If you really study like investors, your investor piece will understand that. Now, the economy is doing really well right now, right? So it hasn't changed yet. And a lot of times you've noticed, like during the last crash, do you remember when the 100% and the flat fee companies came in and they got pushed out because of the crash? That didn't happen this time. And I think that's why we have a lot more interrupters and disruptors than normal.
Yep.
But the difference is that this time around, people who say that these companies are going to go out of business, they're in denial. They're not. These companies will maintain a 30 to 40% market share. I'm positive on that.
Yep.
They have way too much money, way too much research to make a stupid decision. They know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Zillow has all the attention. Redfin has all of the attention because they own your search right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to create more and more attention because there are other alternatives today than buying or selling real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You could sell directly to Zillow, Redfin. You could use a flat fee service. I saw a program that's really cool. It's a 5% buyer prepaid.
Yep.
Like, there are so many ways to liquidate your properties right now. So folks, you're not the only alternative out there right now. And that's why you got to get attention. The reason why you log on to Facebook and you get pissed off because Aunt Sally just bought a house without you is because a less expensive option presented themselves to her before you had a chance to speak with her.
Mm. Dude, that right there, I want people to go back and listen to that again because that's a big deal right there. There was a post, I think it was in the Real Closers group this past week. This guy said almost that exact scenario, man. It's a Facebook group, y'all. It's an amazing Facebook group on the real estate agent side. And he said something to the effect of, how do I stop, or what do you do when friends of yours are working with a different real estate agent? And I didn't see all the answers. There were like dozens and dozens of them, but it's that exact scenario that, you're friends, but you're friends. I mean, somewhere along the line, you have to make sure that you're clearly saying in front of them and making sure that they're clear that you can solve their problem and that you're the expert to do so. They probably went with the other people because they, like you said, they were either in front of them more consistently for that particular part of their life. I mean, maybe in their brain, you're the guy who they drink beer with. And then this other guy is the person who they trust to do real estate.
It's exactly right. I heard that this happened. I'll tell you my story. It happened directly. But you're right. Your friends, your families are going to be your biggest disappointments. But once you activate them into your sales force, they become your biggest asset.
Yep.
So, and you're right. Like when I was 22, I realized that this is the same thing happened. It's how I started doing this attention thing is because I'm sitting there on a Thursday, 22 years old with my best friend. We're drinking, of course, cause that's what we do. We're eating burgers. And he decides that he's like, oh, I just referred this really hot realtor, a $400,000 listing. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Wait, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, you not know that I'm in real estate, dude. Like a $400,000 listing is a $10,000 commission check, which is about 20 times the amount of money I've ever had in my bank account at that time. Right? So John's like, oh shit, dude, I forgot you're in real estate. That night I paid the bill. I left. I went home and I cried literally.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if my best friend doesn't even know what the hell I do for a living, how the hell's anyone else in a referral dominated business? Right. Do I really want to go cold call all day long? Hell no. It's not my cup of tea. It's not a rat race. So that's when I started researching. That's when I started originally direct mailing my database each and every month. I'd send them two direct mail pieces a month. I did it with direct mail too. I would send people happy hot Groundhog's Day mailers. Because no one else was. I'd send people Memorial Day shit like Thanksgiving, like my Valentine's Day video emails. I love you. That always gets opened.
Mm-hmm.
I would always do things that I knew other realtors weren't doing. just to stand out because I'm nurturing a relationship. I'm not making a sales call. There's a difference between branding and there's a difference between lead generation. They're complete opposites.
Dude, so what would you suggest people do that are in this boat? Like what type of content should they do? Because I could totally picture in people's minds, they're going, well, I don't want to put out on Facebook all the time, hey, come to me, you know, work with me as an agent and like always have this
100%.
You don't pitching people.
Yeah, you don't want to hit them over the head with your lockbox all the day.
Yep.
I'll ask you this question. When you guys are hanging out with your friends, you and your wife and your friends and all that, do you always talk about work?
Not. I mean, it probably comes up, but very rarely. It's usually what events that are going on, things that we're doing, something that's fun or funny or whatever.
Well, we shouldn't always talk about work with our database either.
Yep.
For that very reason. The content that we create or the content you should create should sort of subtly remind them that you're in real estate, but not hit them over the head with your lockbox.
Yep.
So one of the things that was really big at Inman was like, what do people look for in a realtor? And overwhelmingly, it was that they're a local expert and they know their shit. And I like them and I trust them, right?
Yep.
So creating hyper-local content accomplishes all three of those requirements that people are seeking for an agent.
Mm-hmm.
Right? First is, would an agent be creating hyper-local videos if they weren't in real estate? You're sort of saying, unless you have nothing better to do and you're a total loser and you guys just have nothing better to do with your life, maybe you'll do that. But realistically, you're going to spend money just creating local content? No.
No, probably not.
You're supposed to be a local expert, right? Yep. So every time you're doing that, and here's the way you got to get your mindset with attention. It's like, all right, 10 to 15% of the people who see my shit, they're moving this year, okay? 100% of people who see my stuff, they know someone who's moving. That's the way my brain works.
Yep.
Right? So you have to know that every time you're storytelling or you're creating content, the people who see it, you're subliminally programming them in their mind that you're their real estate agent. And that's all it is.
So what type of content do you do? Because one of the first things that I latched on with you, as soon as I saw your name, saw you active with Sam and with Real Closers, I go and check out your site. And I saw this client, I brought it up to you before, he's down in the Southeast, I think somewhere in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I saw was a couple of videos that had thousands and thousands of views in a tiny town. I mean, it wasn't big. And it had nothing to do with real estate, but it was very clear that he was in real estate. So explain to me what that was that you guys guided him on and what type of content he was doing.
Yeah. So I believe that everybody has a brand. I believe everyone has a personality, right? Mm-hmm. Pretty simple. God made one of us, and that's why we have fingerprints. So you have an attitude. You have a personality. Now, when we bring somebody on, and I'm not trying to make this a pitch, but realistically is that everybody likes communicating through a certain way or they're comfortable. So if I were to get on camera and start talking about cooking, you'd probably be like, wow, Mike's really awkward today and doesn't know what he's doing, man. He just looks weird. I feel bad for the guy, right?
Yeah.
It'd be because I'm not excited about what I'm talking about. So let me give you an example. It's better. See what I'm doing? I'm storytelling right now too.
Yep.
So what happens is we have this gal. Let me use Michelle for example. So we find out during a deep dive, like a therapy session we call it with this agent, we find out that if she were to win the lotto, she would quit selling houses and open up a restaurant or a catering company.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for that agent, she doesn't like speaking about real estate, but she's very comfortable speaking through cooking and chefs. Okay. So in concept, we're like, all right, you're a real estate chef. That's just who you are. So she doesn't give a buyer's presentation. She has a recipe to making a wise investment. She doesn't list someone's house for sale. She's got the secret sauce. The name of her media series is called What's Cooking.
Mm.
All right, that is just her way of communication.
Yeah.
I'm a dude. The reason why I went, dude, is because it just represented who I really am.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think about it. Like, I was just like, dude, I'm a dude. I have to be a dude. That's what I'll do, right? It allows me to swear. It allows me to do this. It's perfect for me.
Yeah.
So that's all this is like people will fall in love with your authenticity. And yes, you'll turn some people off.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when you know you're doing it right.
Mm.
So you got to find your voice and create content that matches to it. Did I answer that?
I so love that, man. And I want people to really, I want to cement this again. So what he did there was he found out what that gal was passionate about in the first place, which for her in that case is cooking. Because when you're doing stuff that you're passionate about in the first place, you're going to want to keep on doing it. Even when you feel like it's probably not initially getting the result you want, you're going to keep doing it because it's fun, because it's a topic that you're passionate about and you like. And I'll give you guys kind of a micro example here with me. So before I started the podcast, I started this podcast in 2016, summer of 2016. And I didn't want to do it for years. So we started this company in end of 2013, started 2014. A guy on my team at that time said, "Me, you need to start a podcast." This is in 2014. I go, man, I don't want to talk about real estate stuff all day. Like, I wasn't pumped about that. And it took me 2 years to realize, I just want to talk about what I want to talk about. Like I want to show up to this podcast and talk about stuff that fires me up, which is usually, you know, performance stuff and life success stuff and stuff that helps unlock entrepreneurs. And I'm going to sprinkle in some really tactical real estate stuff that they can use because I've got to. That's my business. Like if people don't know what we do really well, it's going to be hard for me to be in business. But also I'm really good at it. So I need to serve my market with that. But probably 70%, like if you listen to all the Carrot Casts, probably 70% is not real estate at all. It's just stuff that could help them a lot. They're interested in it. I'm passionate about it. It gives me energy talking about it. But then they know what I'm about and then they come and use my service because of that content. It's the same thing, but I never put two and two together until literally you just told her story.
Yeah. Here, I'll give you another example because there's a lot of parents, I'm sure, listening to the show. So let's use Mama Sells San Diego. So here's an agent that she's a mom first, happens to sell real estate. She's not a real estate agent, happens to be a mom. So a lot of this is just mindset.
Yep.
The reason why this is important is for what you said is consistency and longevity and authenticity for the duration of whatever series or media series you're going to create. So the real estate, the name of her series, will name a show. The reason why I suggest naming a show is no differently than why you have a podcast, I have a podcast. It's our excuse to report our news.
Yep.
It is now an obligation for us to go out there and create the content in a very non-intruding type of way. Plus, it's also mentally, it's also a mental thing too. If I get up and I say, hey, this is another episode of Mike Cuevas, and today we're going to talk more about me, no one gives a shit. But when I get up and say, this is another episode of the San Diego transplant, and today we're going to discuss commute times between these two areas, now I'm telling a story.
Yep.
So I want you guys to think about like Diners, Dive-Ins, and Dash with Guy Ferrari. It's a 30-minute show. We're doing it in 2 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. There's a middle, a beginning, and an end. Mm-hmm. It's media. It's a series. But you have to be creating stuff that matches your brand's message.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to be you. That's why the last 9 out of 10 of your clients end up being your beer drinking buddies. It's not an accident, guys. That's you attract like people. We're just showing you a way to make it easier to do that.
So that client down in Arkansas, the video that I saw, it was, I can't remember his series, but it was a part of a series. He was going around town. I think at that one, he went like to a chocolate shop and talked to the owner.
Forrest Gump. He lives, let's go through that one. So he lives in Northwest Arkansas, which is where Walmart is headquartered. And there's also a lot of other corporations and franchise there because Walmart's headquartered there, which means it's very like corporate America. So the name of his series is called Naturally NWA. NWA is what they refer to it, the area as, and Naturally covers all of the mom and pops of the area. He's a local to the area, so he's natural to the area. So he's covering the best of mom and pops people, not outside corporations. So that's the fits the script. So is for business interviews, it's locally owned businesses. For points of interest, he's given a history lesson on the Garden of the Gods or the hiking spot that's over here. But he's natural to the area, and really all he's doing is branding himself as a local expert.
And that's a big deal because that one video, I don't remember how many, it's like 4,000 or 5,000 views.
He got 10 on that one. That was organic. We've seen like you don't know what's going to happen, and you have to be social on social media for this stuff to work. Like you can't just expect to go out and push a video and never, you're just gonna do one video and everything's gonna be great.
Yeah.
Right. You still have to engage with people. You still have to be social, but he had 10,000 on that. The biggest one I've seen was about 11,000. And I was with a guy in Minnesota and he actually got a, it was his first video. It was nothing special. He focused on a very well-known breakfast spot, but that's why the community rallies around communities. That's why it's so shareable. And that's why people share it so much. But long story short, he got a commercial out of it. So he gets a call from a commercial and they said, hey, I really like how you did that business. We want you to feature ours. And they're doing a professionally shot commercial.
Oh, sweet.
Then he got a fucking voiceover on top of it. He got hired for that. Like this guy's like, he's very natural on camera, right? Yep. He's good on camera. He's fun. He's energetic. But it's because the first video we shot, he was really excited because it was all based upon his life story.
Dude, so here's two things I want people to write down. The first of all, I did a podcast on this 4 or 5 episodes ago, and there's two things you've got to nail as a real estate agent, as an investor, truly win with content over that, not just with content, to win over the next 5 years or so. Number one, you've got to have content and context. And so what those two things are this. The context is when people learn about you, why should they care? when people learn about you, why should they want to work with you? And that's where your expertise comes in. Okay, you can be the most likable person in the world and your buddy knows you're an agent, but then they choose to go with this other lady because she's a bigger expert on this type of real estate they're wanting to buy or sell. They're going to work with her even though you're buddies because she's a better expert. So you've got to build your expertise. You've got to be able to figure out what are those niches that you're going to be really good at. So when people learn about your stuff, there's context for why you are awesome and they should work with you versus you are amazing on video. The content part then is once you clearly have identified niches you're going to be great in, and in some of your content is on that, and people are clear on your about page and your about video, what you really specialize in and why you do what you do. That's where the content comes in. That's where you're doing a lot of this type of content. You have a good clear call to action. So make sure you're mixing those two in, y'all, because if you just are putting out the fun stuff and there's no context that you're actually really good at what you do, then you're going to be kind of missing part of the pie. But if you're really good at what you do, but no one knows, that's even worse.
So let's do Eric Eby actually. So he did about, and he wasn't, this is Eric, the Northwest Arkansas guy we're talking about. So actually you're right. With his thing in particular, it's funny because he was never really on Facebook before. Mm-hmm. He had like 600-700 friends, but he never really engaged before he started doing these videos. He was almost like a, you know, like some pray and spray type guy. Like you'll post like a listing there, but then that was it. It was just a place to drop off some content. Now he did just do a, he just started to do a few content videos, like a real estate related, like closing costs and things, how do you find a house, like educational stuff, but he's doing it on green screen and we're making it fun and engaging. But because he's generated the attention already, he built an audience. Yeah. People know who he is, right? So now he can sell them shit all day long and they won't be pissed off about it. Mm-hmm. It's no differently. Like when people come on my podcast, you guys, I'm going to close all of you guys right now.
Yep.
I'll say on a demo or something, they want to look at our services. I'm like, look, I'm going to close you right now. Is this okay? They're like, yes. Yep. The only reason we're having this conversation is because you found me some way, shape, or form, either through my podcast, my blog, on social media, or something like that. And I'm not sure how long you've been following me around for, but I have no hesitation to tell you exactly what I want you to buy right now. Now, do you want to know the reason of that? And they're going to say, oh, what the fuck's this guy talking about? I'm like, yes, I want to see the reason. Well, it's because I've earned your trust. I've given you so much value over the last however long you've been around that you have no problem paying me for anything. As a matter of fact, you probably want to double what you give me.
Yep.
That's attention.
I love it.
That's value. And that's how it's like dating, guys. You have to obtain permission to advertise. You have to obtain permission to ask.
Dude, I love it. So I want to break down some action steps for people. So the first thing is on the brand side, just go back and listen to what Mike said earlier on how to kind of mine and create your brand that's unique to you. That's something that you can, that you'd be pumped to push out there, and go back and listen to that part. So that's the clip notes on, look at, what were some of those questions you asked, man? Like if you won the lottery tomorrow, what would you want to do? Are there any other questions
you
asked?
You should be creating content on stuff you're already doing on the weekends with your family. Mm-hmm. Okay. How it is. And if you're a family man, then you're a family content person. That's what you do. If you're, I mean, we've seen so many different ones. I've seen feminists to LGBT community to veteran based, right? So it's just whom you are. And honestly, it's who you start with the end in mind. It's who you're creating content for. So grab your last 10 clients and figure out what they all have in common and create something consistent for them in your local.
And then what's the posting cadence? I know we've got, you and I were chatting and ours actually are pretty darn complimentary, but what do you guys guide your clients on? What's the ideal posting cadence and kind of how long are the videos and things like that?
So Facebook just switched up their algorithm and all of that. So we're seeing that 3 minutes plus is the way to go, which is where our stuff was anyway. So we're actually happy to see that. But you don't want it too long either. So the keys of the video are the attention getter in the first 10 seconds, the story, the authenticity, but then the frequency. So if you're going to, we just care about consistency. So 1 to 2 a month is most people are going to do 2 a month because you space those out every 2 weeks, right?
Yep.
And as you drive traffic with folks, you don't need a super duper digital marketing agency to boost your stuff, right? Because we're generating attention. We don't need to create these super duper autoresponders and all this stuff that everyone goes crazy over.
Yep.
All we need to do is just boost, because that's exactly what the boost was born for. It's a page post engagement. That's the objective. It says, send this to people who are going to share and like, comment my shit. That's all I want. So it's set up perfectly for it. So the short answer is that once you boost it out, You let it run for about 7 to 10 days. What you'll see is that you'll maintain like an omnipresent, sort of like presence, because you're everywhere all the time.
Cool.
You're not just posting this on social. We're video emailing it. We're posting it on your blog. You're putting it on YouTube. You're multi-purposing it. Mm-hmm. It's not just taking a video and posting it on social media. And this is the difference between lead generation and branding. Lead generation, you either have a positive or negative ROI every 30 days. Mm. Branding, you don't. You can't quantify it. You don't know when it's going to come. But if you multi-purpose it, every single bit of content you do, you can't put an expense on because it builds onto that brand.
Mm-hmm. And one key that Mike said there, guys, is you're putting that piece of video in multiple spots. And like we've talked before, there's different people. The people are on Google and Facebook for different reasons. So put it on Facebook because you're going to get that social reach. You're going to get the sharing, the engagement. That's where people are going to build relationship. That's where people are going to build relationship and credibility with you. So put it up there. Like Mike said, Facebook did change their guidelines recently, where they're ideally looking for videos over 3 minutes, which is cool. Because for years, we've been saying for video posts, for our feature, do your videos 3 to 5 minutes. The reason for that is the average person speaks 120 to 160 words a minute, meaning a 3-minute video is about a 500-word article if you yank all those words out of there. And for a sweet spot to start to get enough quality content on a blog post for Google to want to get you ranked high, it's 500, 800 words. That's very strategically why we say 3 to 5 minutes. You could go up to 8 minutes, but 3 to 5 minutes is a sweet spot. So take those things, get them on Facebook, get them over here to YouTube, and title them something related to, you know, it could be if you're doing the darn chocolate shop in Bentonville, Arkansas, you put the name of the company, the word reviews or whatever it is, dash Bentonville, Arkansas. Maybe you might even rank really high in Google and YouTube for people searching just for that chocolate shop. And then you take that darn video and you put it into our feature called Video Post. You just take the darn YouTube URL, you paste it into Video Post. Go find that tutorial on our site, guys. Just go to help.carrot.com. Just look up Video Post and you'll see the tutorial. It takes a couple minutes to do it. And then our system is going to bring that video in from YouTube. It's going to get all the words out of it. It's going to transcribe it. It's going to make you a full blog post with the title, the intro video, and then all the words from it. Wow. And if you do it right and you start to say some of those words that like when you're doing a video, make sure to say some things that localize it. Hey, if you're here in Bentonville, Arkansas, and you're looking to find some events during this month of March, 2019. So I'm talking about Bentonville, Arkansas events, 2019, and then that way, when I do the transcription, it yanks those words out. It gives it more context when people are doing Google searches, give it a higher chance to rank. And that way you're on Facebook, you're on YouTube, and you're on Google, the three big sources that people go to find information online. One of them is for social and sharing, which is Facebook. One of them is kind of for entertainment, but also information gathering, which is YouTube. And then Google is for making decisions and research. And so if you put those to get that video in those three spots, you're going to be doing good.
If you're going to do video, like multi-purpose it, put your videos on your site.
Yep.
Here's the reason. Let's go another story. You're in Mexico. You're in Cabo. You're going to go buy an investment property. You're searching out for a real estate agent. You find one through Zillow. You go check out their website. It's their broker's website. And they just have a page on it. You see like a little write-up. You don't really get to know who the guy is. But then you're searching through YouTube and you're looking for investment properties all over Cabo or vacation rentals or something. You see this dude pop up and he's giving you a walkthrough. You're like, this guy's sort of funny. He's like, he's like, guy's drinking a beer or something. Maybe he's wearing shorts. You just connect with him. Mm-hmm. Who are you going? Then I go and I'm like, all right, let me go check out this guy's website. I'm going to go to his website. If his website is the same thing, I don't have a way to get to know him. Yep. But if he has a ton of content, if he's got videos of like all the hotels and all the neighborhoods in Cabo, and I learn a thing or two while I'm on his site, I'm more likely to go with him than I am with the person that has no content on them.
Yep. I love it. And that's where video posts comes. That goes onto your blog and hopefully gets ranked in Google. I love it, guys. Mike, I'm definitely going to bring you back on, man. I want to dig in even more on the brand building side of things on a next podcast. And I'm just pumped to really make sure that agents and investors are taking this seriously, because when I go back to talk about how do you make sure to stand out, how do you make sure to win against, let's say, Zillow or OfferPad or Open Door or the bigger competitors in that market, you do things that Zillow won't do and can't do. And what they can't do is they can't be you. They're not going to have that personality and persona that you've got that's going to connect with people like you. Yep. And also, it's going to be really hard for them to be that local expert as much as you can be.
They don't have a relationship.
the relationship, right? They can auto generate content all day long, and where they're going to win is people who are more price conscious versus relationship and expertise conscious. So yep. The people that are really price conscious, they're probably going to go to one of those solutions. But the person who really wants an expert, they want to work with someone that they trust. They want to work with someone that they actually can guide them through the process. They're going to work with someone like you, who's getting the attention, building trust, credibility, and getting out there. Which is great. Dude, Mike, I want to wrap this puppy. Where can people find out about you? I really highly suggest their services, by the way, guys and gals. If you want to take the easy button and have them take you through the process, help you with that brand building exercise, and then map out the types of videos, even down to the equipment that you get, they'll help you with all that. And you can just send them the darn videos, and they do the video editing for you, get them all up on there. So yeah. Where can people find out about you, man?
Sure. Thank you for that. You guys, if you have any further interest, I mean, just consume the content on my site. I mean, there's an ebook, there's a webinar, a blog, and a podcast. I mean, just knock it out, and I'm happy to answer any questions you have. But the website is really easy to remember. You guys ready? It's called realestatemarketingdude.com. Just as it's spelled out. And yeah, we have like a whole done for you setup from start to finish.
I love it. I love it, man. Well, guys, go to realestatemarketingdude.com. Mike Cuevas, we're going to get you back on the podcast, dude. We'll connect. We're going to be working a lot more together. Like we talked, we're in the same mastermind together now, Closing Table. So I'll be seeing you this fall. And everyone, go to realestatemarketingdude.com. And I want to challenge everyone to this. I want you to create your very first brand building video. Start to pick that niche or that kind of theme that you can start to do content on. And I want to challenge you to start getting stuff up, because that first one, that second one are the hardest ones. But once you get excited about, like Mike said, doing content on a topic you're passionate about that you would be doing content on anyway. Like I would be talking entrepreneur stuff and mindset stuff anyway. And that's what I want to do. Talk mindset, marketing, strategy. I want to do that on this podcast. And hopefully then we'll give 30% of the content of very specific real estate stuff. So that's my challenge to you guys. If you want help on it, go to realestatemarketingdude.com and look out for Mike's name in the podcast moving forward. Mike, any final words, man?
No, just, ultimately don't overthink this stuff. It's really not that hard. Shooting it is not that hard. It's just new. It takes the willingness to learn. But that's how any shift happens. And the ones who do are the ones who adapt and prosper ultimately. So don't overthink it. Be you.
I love it. Well, guys, have an amazing rest of the week. Go back and check out the archives and the podcast. Go to carrotcast.com. And I want to throw this challenge at you guys. Go to iTunes and let's get over 200 five-star reviews. We're really, really close, y'all. We're really close for a small podcast. This podcast has been growing by leaps and bounds. Now, a year ago, I think we were at, I don't know what it was. I mean, maybe 8,000 downloads a month. We're pushing 25, 30,000 downloads a month right now, including the YouTube side of things. And that's because of you guys, because you're sharing it up, because you're getting value from this. You're resonating with your life. Many people's lives are being changed because of episodes. I get Instagrams every single day on these episodes. And the way we get this message to other people is by you sharing it, reviewing it on iTunes, getting the word out there. I appreciate it ahead of time. Mike, appreciate your time, man. We'll talk soon.